is Radio Maria, and you're listening to our Credo program. We are welcoming today Daisy Vanderput. Daisy's a member of the Loreto community in London, a charismatic community which I believe began through Medjugorje, but was born in Austria about 25 years ago. I've done my research. And also, Daisy, you're a trustee of Catholic Student Network, which supports university students all around the country. So, excellent job. So, Daisy is going to be speaking to us about living in a community. So, please, Daisy, the airways are yours.
Thank you so much. My name's Daisy. I currently live in the Loreto community, and I'm calling in from Medjugorje today, actually, as well. It all feels very apt to be speaking today. I just thought I'd start in this first segment just talking about the need for community today and in our society, and where we've got to because we've lost this really deep sense of needing each other. And then in the second section, I'll just talk a bit about my experiences in living in community and how we can build communities around us, and basically just thinking about how we don't need to be living in a religious order, we don't need to be living in a lay community as such, like I am, to have community and to build it, and it's for every single one of us. So yeah, that's just how I'm gonna shape what I'm talking about today. So why am I talking about this, and why am I so passionate about it? It's not a surprise that we live in a culture that is so polarized, and cancel culture is so prevalent, and someone will say something wrong, something that isn't with the flow of the current narrative of the country, of the culture, and there's just all of these attempts to shut people down, shut down conversation, and to stop people having a conversation with one another. And for context, a majority of people in the UK, 57%, say they have at least sometimes found themselves stopping themselves from expressing their views, religious, political, or social views, for fear of judgment or negative responses from others. And we're living in this society that is so black and white. There's no kind of room for nuance. And I think that's really hard for us as Christians, where we sit in that space of nuance of we're never really in that space of being on one side or the other of whatever debate is happening in at the time. So what are some of the symptoms of this this breakdown of community and of conversation that we've had? The first one is that families are breaking down in the UK. Half of children in the UK grow up in a single parent household, and that's for one reason or another, and sometimes a very hard situation, and in fact always a difficult situation for the parents. And we've had a steady decrease in marriages in this country as well. People are lonely. 45% of the population in this country say that they feel lonely, and studies show that loneliness is more detrimental to our health than smoking even. So smoking, obesity, and this experience of loneliness actually increases people's risk of heart disease and dementia, which I found very interesting when I was doing this research. And we have a mental health epidemic as well. We've got addiction and suicide rates through the roof, 20% increase over the last 15 years. People are suffering, and I think this is a symptom of the breakdown of our communities in our country. And what role do we have to play in that? We have a huge role in our society and in our nation to rebuild communities and rebuild that art of belonging to one another. And I think, why do we have that in this country, and why am I talking about it? And I think at the core of this, we've lost our Christian roots, but we've also forgotten that we belong to one another. Christ's mission, when Jesus was here on earth, his mission was founded on and flourished through incredible friendships that he had. He walked alongside people. He gave his life and he gave his whole heart and being to the people that were around him. He chose specifically not to do it on his own. And so all the more so for us not to be choosing to try and do this Christian walk, to do life on our own as well. And I think as a country, we take for granted the foundations that our Christian roots have given us, and what it means to be in communion with one another and to lay down our lives for our friends. We live in a space where people are self-absorbed, isolating themselves. Our phones are taking us away from people. Our jobs, our work, our worries, they're all taking us away from being and belonging to one another. And I think this idea of sacrifice as well is something that we've really lost in the process. It seems so far-fetched for your everyday person to talk about sacrifice or to lay down their life for their friends. And I think really at the heart of what I want to speak today is that this everyday walk with people and the need to give our lives to them. So what I've just shared a lot of very gloomy statistics and explained the state of play in this country. But I think there's hope, and I think there's so much good that can be coming from this time and this season that we're in. So what is the answer? I think the answer is friendship, and I think it's community. And I think there is something beyond ourselves that we are being called out into, and it's not perfect. It's not this picture that we can just slot into, this box that we can fit into. It's something that's messy. It's something that's vulnerable. And I also just want to speak beyond this really fluffy understanding that we have of friendship and community. I think we see that in our day-to-day as this place just to tolerate one another. And toleration's not got us anywhere. Our British curriculum in our schools says that it's a value, a British value, it's toleration. But I would say that toleration is, in fact, even below the baseline of where we're meant to be and where we're meant to hold ourselves to. Toleration has allowed us and taught us to isolate ourselves, and it's taught us that we don't have to wrestle with the things that we're uncomfortable with, and it's training us to keep people always at an arm's length. If I don't like your opinion, I can keep you there and I can tolerate you. And we've been called out beyond that into communities in our areas of influence, to friendship with one another, a genuine, deep love for the other, and a friendship and community that bears in trials with one another, that is patient, that is listen, that walks through the ups and downs of everyday life. And yeah, I'm speaking about that because it is something that shapes not just my current reality, living in a community of people, of Christians who are committed to growing as disciples alongside one another, but in my work as well. I work in a think tank in London on policy. And one of our theories of change is that we're not going to do that without creating strong communities of people who are rallied around the same thing of belief and of same values, of same morals, and walking each other through the ups and downs of life with one another in our work. So yeah, here we are. Before we just go to one of the next songs, I think something that's really moved me is thinking about how we see this biblically. What is the Bible and what is our faith saying about community? And at the very, very core, we are made in the image of God, who in himself is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that essence is a community. So we're made in the image and likeness of a community, a deep, intimate community that is so held tightly together that it is one being. And that is what we are made to mirror in our everyday lives. And we see it throughout scriptures. As I've mentioned, we see it in Jesus's ministry as he walked through those very, very key years of his ministry, those last 3 years. It was done alongside his friends. And then when we see, as we go forward into the New Testament, we see in the book of Acts, this commitment to one another to keep going, to keep pushing. We see Paul going around all these different countries, urging Christians and Gentiles and Jews to build communities of Christians around them. And I was really struck when I was reading this, one of my favourite quotes from Acts. It just only hit me again the other day when I was reading it. But it's Acts 2:42, and it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." And something that really struck me in this is in the beginning part, where there's these four pillars that the Christian faith is founded on: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And fellowship is the second one in this list, and it's even before the breaking of bread and prayers. I just thought that was very apt and very interesting to look at, that before we can even begin to think about entering deeply into the sacraments, entering deeply into a prayer life, it needs to be nurtured and in the context of fellowship and community. So I'm just going to leave it there for now, for this part, and we'll come back to the second part shortly.
Thank you very much, Daisy. We're going to listen to Lauren Daigle, "Come Alive." It's a lovely song. And it's got, in brackets, "dry bones." So let's have a little listen to this.
Through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one the enemy is whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save, you alone can save. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, breathe, oh breath of God.
You're listening to Radio Maria. This is Credo. We have Daisy Vanderput, who is part of the Charismatic Community in London, the Loreto Community, and she's here to talk about living in a community. So welcome back to Credo. Thank you very much, Daisy, for being with us and for what you've shared so far. Please do continue.
Thank you. Yeah, so I was speaking before about the desperate need and call on our lives as Christians to have community. And now I'm just going to talk a little bit about my experience and then three things that I think are essential for building communities where you are. I speak to a lot of people who say, well, it's very easy for you because you live in a community and you don't have to worry about trying to find friends or find people who care about the faith like you do, because it's right by you. And I would say to that, it's not always been that way. I haven't lived in a community for ages. I did a missionary year with Net Ministries in 2016, and so that was my first taste of living in community then. And now I've just moved back into the Loreto community in Southwest London in Twickenham. And in between those times, I had to build community and build what I needed. And especially when I came back from America from my mission year, I felt very overwhelmed, and I felt that all my community that I'd had growing up was dispersed. Everyone had moved on. And so I had to start from scratch again. But I meet many people who are kind of in that space, and it is scary and it's overwhelming. And it's, I think, a deep need of our heart to have community around us. And so when we don't have it, it's painful. But I truly and firmly believe that God wants to bless us with community in our whatever stage and vocation you're in, whether you're married, newlywed, whether you are, whether you're single and that's a vocation for life as well, or whether you're a student, whatever that looks like. I know and firmly believe that God wants to answer our prayer for community in our life. So a little bit about the Loreto community. As mentioned, we are a community that is lives together in a house in Southwest London in Twickenham. There is eight of us. We have the Blessed Sacrament in the house, and we have a very relaxed rhythm of prayer and community living. So on a Wednesday night, we have community dinner where we a community night where we pray together. We have half an hour of prayer in the chapel, and then we go and have dinner together, and we just share what's been going on in our weeks, and just the highs and lows of everyday life. And then on a Friday, we open up our home, and we also go out and we have a worship and prayer evening where we have adoration, we have a speaker, and we have a time of worship together. And it's been beautiful and it's been hard. And I think that is at the very core of what community life is. Whenever I think about my year in America, I always reference it as one of the most beautiful but challenging years of my life. Such a gift to live with incredible people, and those people formed me and helped heal wounds that I didn't even know I had by living with them and just by being in their company and in their presence, and people who had just committed to me no matter what, no matter how ugly and messy and irresponsible my behavior was, they had committed to love me through it all. And that was what transformed me in that year. And the same now, these people love me and they want to have my heart. And so in my everyday life where I'm working, coming back home, there is a tendency in me to want to hide away and to isolate myself, especially when I know my prayer life isn't great or there's something that I'm really struggling with. My inclination is to want to hide. And I think that happens to a lot of us. And I think it's just the picture of what happened in the garden, isn't it? Where Jesus, where the Father had made this beautiful place of Eden for him to live in community and communion with Adam and Eve. And then the struggles and the fall came, and they wanted to hide away and isolate themselves from that communion and community that they were made for. So life in community, it requires a daily showing up and choice to love the people around me, and to also just let them love me as well and let them see me. That is another aspect of community life that is a challenge and a blessing as well, is to be seen by other people for who I truly am. And it's too hard to keep my guard up 24/7 with, when you're living with people, when you're seeing them every day. So it's definitely a gift in that sense. So that's a little bit about Loreto Community. It was born in Austria, and there's homes all across the Germany and Austria. It's been a huge blessing to me so far, and definitely encourage you just to have a look at some of the stuff that we have online. And there's many other communities across the country as well. So I'd encourage you just to Google, to have a look around what is in your area. But what does this look like in our everyday life? Because for many of us, especially in the UK, we don't have these big communities around us. Our experience of community might come from our work, it might come from a hobby that we have, but our church community is often something that we show up to on a Sunday, we go to Mass, and we might at a push stay for a coffee and chat with some people. We probably don't know the people in our pews as well as we could. So how do we get into this place of wanting to build community, and what does that look like practically? So my three things, my three points that I want to make in terms of building community in your parish and in your local area is: one, everyday life; two, consistency; and three, vulnerability. So number one, everyday life. I think we can sometimes complicate what community can look like. We see communities that are well established, that know what they're doing, they've got slick Bible studies and programs being advertised, but that actually in itself isn't community. You can have a group of people attend a Bible study or an event that happens regularly, but feel isolated and feel alone there and feel unknown. And so I think it starts with our everyday hospitality, and I don't think we need to overcomplicate it. And I think that looks like inviting people for meals, having a coffee with someone. I really like in that scripture that I mentioned before from Acts 2:42 that essentially they came together and they ate together and they just lived their lives. They attended the temple together and they broke bread in their homes and they received their food with gladness and gladness and generous hearts. They just lived life. They lived life in the everyday. So having someone over for dinner or having someone over for coffee. And I'm sure in those places they were leaning into intentional conversation that wasn't distracted by their phones, not that they had them, but it's definitely a thing that stops us connecting from one another today. Having intentional conversation and really just listening to that other person, providing a space for people just to open up their hearts and share. And I think in this everyday life and in this everyday context, we begin to feel at ease with one another, and we are able just to integrate someone into our lives and perhaps even let our lives be integrated into theirs as well. So the second one is consistency. Before I go on to the consistency, I think where we begin is just by looking at the people around us. Who do I see regularly in my life? perhaps it is someone you sit next to at church that you don't really know. I felt really, really blessed and also challenged before in the past by amazing, amazing people who have come up to me in church and said, oh, I've seen you around. I don't know who you are. We look similar ages. I'd love to go and get a coffee with you sometime. I am not naturally good at doing something like that, but the people that have done that to me have become incredible friends, and I've just felt so humbled by their invitation to just be with one another. And to build that friendship and to build that community, it needs a consistency to it. And that consistency is essential for people to know that they can trust you and to build something with you. So perhaps there's a time where you can meet friends or meet someone consistently. Perhaps it is after Mass because you're both there. Or if you're a mum after dropping your kids at school, whatever that looks like for you, look at these spaces in your life where there is room to build something with someone. And that also means if we really do feel serious about building community and building and to have that as something that is very core and solid to our life, we need to look at our schedule as well and ask the hard question, is there space for community in my life at this point in time? I had definitely overcommitted earlier this year and over the last year, and I knew that I needed space for community. And so it began a long process of shutting things down and saying no to things slowly, and that was a hard process, but I knew that it was no's, a series of no's for a bigger yes. And that is how I've managed to end up at Loreto, and I've had that space for these people in my life. So that's consistency. And after you've built that consistency with someone, you should always be asking the question, who can we bring into this? Who is around that I can bring into this fold, into this place? And when you're meeting, maybe it is just a check-in of how's your week been? How have you been doing? How is your prayer life? What are some things that are on your mind at the moment? Is there anything I can pray for? These are just like regular questions that you can have with someone to check in and to build that friendship and community with someone. It doesn't have to have a snazzy name to your meetup. It can just be friends hanging out. And so, yeah, I really challenge you and encourage you to look at the people around you and to see who can I be bringing in? Who can I be asking? And we need to be people that are praying to have eyes to see the people that God is asking us to reach out to and to be bold in that. And I say that as much as an encouragement to myself as it is to all of you, to be bold to reaching out to that person in the pew and saying, I'd love to get a coffee with you and get to know you. Or I'd love to have you over for dinner. I'd love to go for a walk. Whatever it is, we need to be bold in reaching out that hand to someone else. We can't be the people to wait around for others to start something for us. I think sometimes there's been points in my life where I've been struggling to find community and to build it, and I've wallowed in self-pity and in this kind of victim mentality of, oh, well, no one's asked me to do anything. No one wants to be my friend. No, that's not good enough. We need to go out and ask those people to be our friends ourselves. And the third one is vulnerability. So at a point where you are building your friendship with someone, you've met someone at church, you've met someone in your community, whatever that looks like, there is a challenge to let that guard go down and to let them see you for who you really are. As I was mentioning about life in Loreto and in community that I've had before, there is a challenge if you want a deep, sustaining community to be built to really share the struggles that you are facing in your everyday life. And sometimes it isn't going to just be difficult struggles that you're facing. Perhaps there's some really good things going on in your life and you want to celebrate that with someone as well. but the call on us is to show that we don't always have it together, and we don't need we don't have to be in our best selves, the person that is polished and perfect. That vulnerability is going to foster deeper vulnerability in other people, and it's going to allow a space for people to open up about the things that they may not have shared with anyone else before. And so, yeah, that's where I leave you today. I just, a deep encouragement to be that person, to start building something around you, building a movement of people, building a group of friends who want to live life together. And if you already have that, I would just really encourage you as well just to pray about who you need to be inviting in as well. We should always be living in that space of invitation. And so I will just close us in a prayer now, praying for community and praying for whoever needs that right now. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, I just thank you for whoever's listening this evening, and I pray that we would be people who are invitational. I pray that we'd be people who build communities around us. I pray, Lord, that we would have a new boldness to reach out to the people that we see around us and to connect more deeply. Not just for the sake of ourselves, but for the sake of the other. Lord, I pray that our parishes in this country would become places where we'd return to these refuge spaces that they used to be, where people are known, they're loved, they're held, they're supported. And I pray that we would continue to lean into this image that you've made us in, Lord. Pray that we would live in that fullness, and that you'd give us new hearts to do that, and to be the people you created us to be. Amen.
Amen. Daisy, that's so lovely. It sounds like a beautiful, beautiful community. You're right, beautiful but hard. Like most families.
Yeah, absolutely. Family's definitely at the core.
Yeah, of course. No, it's not going to be easy, is it? But, you know, I don't know where I would be, well, A, without my family, B, without the love and support of the Radio Maria family, my soul food prayer group family, and... I've just all of my sisters who we get together and pray together, and it's so, so important. I was really shocked to hear that loneliness can, you did say that, didn't you? Loneliness can cause heart disease.
Yeah.
That's absolutely shocked me. That's very, very, very sad, because there's no need for it.
No, there isn't.
You know, it brought
especially
me back to
this time of year as well. I really think about people like living on their own, and you know, we've got such a duty to reach out to people.
Yeah, it's true. I know, you know, it brought me a little bit back to COVID times, really, when you know it tried to stop us, didn't it, from building community, and it did stop us from, you know, having communities around us and going and visiting people. Of course it did. And it stopped us, you know, from going to church as a community. But, you know, actually technology did, you know, step up to the challenge. And there are loads of little prayer groups that were set up and all of this sort of stuff. So it didn't quite, you know, stop us.
Yeah,
because we, you know, even now some of these little prayer groups are still going, so that's that was amazing. So
such a fruit of kind of, it's been taken away from us, and it's like we've had to adapt, and we have, and there's some really, really beautiful things that come from.
It was a challenging time, but you know, like I said, it did step up and it did help. So I did look up a little bit about Our Lady. the Loreto community. It's a good website. What's the website address, please? For our listeners.
Good question.
I was trying. I didn't have any internet access, so I couldn't find it.
It's Loreto, loreto.org.uk, and you can find out more about our England base there.
It's Our Lady of Loreto. Is that
just Loreto? Loreto UK.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I've heard of Our Lady of Loreto.
Yeah.
Apparently, her house was picked up by angels.
Nazareth. Right. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. I've also heard of the Loreto staircase. Have you heard of that?
Yeah. That's another
wonderful miracle.
Is that Saint Joseph?
Yeah. Apparently, Saint Joseph. Oh. Check out, everyone who's listening, you must check this out, the Loreto staircase. That's another incredible story. Whew. So many miracles. I love being a Catholic. It's so exciting. Anyway, thank you very much, Daisy. Listeners, I'm very sorry we had a late intro. We had a little bit of technical problems, but I'm very grateful for what Daisy has shared with us today. Daisy, you're all the way, contacted us all the way from Medjugorje. So that's an even more beautiful blessing. Thank you, Daisy. I really
thank
do
you so
hope
much.
You'll come back and speak to us again.
Yeah, it's been such a gift. Thank you.
Oh, God bless you and God bless the rest of your time in Medjugorje.
Thank you.
Take care and we'll speak to you very soon, I hope.
Bye.
Bye-bye.